I am not going to pretend that I fully appreciate the finer points of cricket, but even I know it's weird when a 5-day test is over in two. The first Ashes test was one for the books, but what stopped me this weekend wasn't the roar of the crowd. It was a dad's love letter to cricket, written with his two daughters in mind, because he's worried that girls are playing far less sport than boys. The truth is, women's teams are breaking records and hearts, the Matildas, the women's test at the MCG, but at the grassroots, the gap is real. The data shows that nearly 30% more boys aged 0 to 14 participate in club or association sport than girls. In a moment, you'll hear two experts on how we can help close this gender play gap. But I do want to hear from you about what you learnt from doing sport as a kid, or what does it mean to you now? Nikhil Kulkarni is a self-described cricket tragic and the author of My Summer of Cricket. And he's also the father of two daughters who he wants to share his love of sport with. Nikhil, welcome to Life Matters.
Tegan, it's a pleasure.
Tell me about what sport meant to you as a kid.
As a kid growing up back in the northern part of Karnataka state in India, my whole life almost revolved around sport, whether it was playing during the hot summer vacations till our moms used to almost scream at us to get back home, to growing up with heroes like Sachin Tendulkar and aspiring to play for India one day in cricket. Sport and in particular cricket has been pretty much the epicenter of what things revolved around in life.
How old are you girls?
6 and 2.
Okay, so there's lots of time to really shape them now. Why is it important to you that they share this love of cricket?
In my own family, I have seen my mom and my wife, who have been very active in sport during their younger years, bring some of the qualities and the character that sport builds, whether it is resilience, whether it is bouncing back from challenging times, being able to work as a team. And I really want my daughters to inculcate those qualities. And not just that, a lot of women leaders attribute their success in life, in career, and things in general to their engagement with sport in their younger days. So that's the reason I am really keen for my daughters to not just get into sport, but just have that as a common thread throughout their lives as they grow up.
It's you learn so many life skills on a sporting pitch. It kind of doesn't really matter what sport it is.
Absolutely. Really doesn't have to be any sport. And, a lot of things you learn while on the field, for example, playing as a team. Yeah, there are a lot of individual sports as well. But when you play as a team, you're, of course, interacting with your fellow teammates, your coaches. And, sometimes you have to sit out of a game, which is not the most, is not the greatest feeling. But then you learn to take such things in your stride and really become a better person over time.
Are you worried that your daughters aren't going to have the same kinds of opportunities as boys would their age?
I do share that concern, Tegan, and I have two thoughts on that. One is just the environment. I mean, in my family, my wife and I, and our broader community in general, we are really keen for our daughters to go and engage in sport, but that may not be the case in most places. So in general, there's sort of this cultural thought that it's the boys who are out there on the field engaging in sport and the girls not so much. So there's really a little bit of that environment, and especially in communities like mine, I come from an Indian heritage, there's more emphasis on girls focusing on their studies, doing well in academics and so on. So I think that really has to change as well. We are seeing signs of that, but I think there's more to be done. The second thing is around having role models. Generally, when you think of sport and the kind of role models, it's mostly the men who get most of the attention. But I am so glad that, you mentioned about the Matildas, the women's test at the MCG. Again, with reference to my heritage, the Indian women's team winning the women's ODI World Cup is such a huge thing in India. And that's going to give a huge fillip to more girls engaging in sports. So I am seeing positive signs, but I do share that concern that, you know, naturally girls may not take as much to sport as boys. And, you know, it's really a passion of mine to not just have my daughters engage in sport, but really create this awareness in the broader community to inspire more dads to get their daughters into sport.
There's someone who's actually taking this so seriously, they've devoted their whole study and career to it, is James Kay, a PhD candidate at Flinders University's College of Education, Psychology and Social Work. James, you're looking into the gender play gap. Talk to me about what that actually is.
Yeah, good morning, Tegan, and good morning, listeners. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I mean, the gender play gap, you've sort of referred to it in your intro and Nikhil as well, and it's really just showing that girls throughout the lifespan, and particularly during adolescence, tend to participate in sport less than boys. And yeah, it's obviously something that we want to close as much as possible, and really give girls those positive sporting experiences throughout adolescence, and yeah, all of those great life lessons and life skills that Nikhil spoke about.
What do we know in terms of numbers?
Well, look, I know that our next guest is more of an expert in the
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, I've got her up my sleeve.
I'll handle that one. but no, just because I know that, her research is really oriented around that. I can talk to my research, which is we've looked more at some of the individual experiences of the girls, particularly here in South Australia. And in terms of what's driving that gap, we found four main sort of themes that revolved around. So some of those social dynamics and interactions in the organised sport environment, and you know, a real build-up of negative experiences for female adolescents, and feeling that like they're not socially safe or socially belonging can often lead to that dropout. We see female adolescents having to play a real balancing act during adolescence, and balancing a lot of competing priorities. But that's obviously not too dissimilar from what boys have to go through. But then a lot of the fact that despite some strides that we've made in gender equity, there's still a real gender unequal environment in community sport, and lack of female role models and some of those sort of things, which essentially mean that the quality of the organised sport experience for girls often diminishes throughout adolescence. So a lot of the investment that they're putting into that, whether that's time or money, just gets to a point where it's just not as attractive a proposition for girls, and it's not surprising, therefore, that they take on some other pursuits. So those are a few of the reasons that we've found that are driving this gap.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and with me is Nikhil Kulkarni, who's a cricket fan, author of My Summer of Cricket, a dad of two daughters that he really hopes will catch his love of sport. James McKay, who's a PhD candidate at Flinders University. And as James alluded to, also the magic of radio is that you can't see how many people I have gathered around the table until I introduce them. Rochelle Imey, who's a professor of exercise and sports science at Federation University. Rochelle, welcome.
Good morning.
So tell me about what we do know about numbers, because James said that is your patch.
We analyse around a million sport participation records of Victorian sports. So this is 16 of the most popular sports in Victoria. And what we have is that 70% of males, sort of 10 to 14, participate in one of these organised sport, and only 50% of females. And it's lower in certain areas. And participation halves from 10 to 14, where it peaks, to 15 to 19. And, you know, female participation is much lower than males across the board. And there's many reasons for this. There's individual factors, social factors, and organisational factors. But one positive is that the female participation has increased in recent years. You know, there's a lot of opportunities now for girls and women to play a lot of sports. When I was a child, we weren't even allowed to play. So big increases in the male-dominated sports, such as the footy codes and cricket. So we're seeing much higher, you know, participation of females in those in recent years. But unfortunately, we do have lower retention because their quality experience is not always high, and a lot of people do drop out.
Yeah, is it a bit of a chicken and egg thing, Rochelle? Because I'm thinking about pathways to professional sport, but also investment when they're young, and maybe cultural attitudes and that sort of thing. It all kind of feeds in a bit of a loop.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that interact that sort of determines whether someone keeps playing or not. And the reasons why girls play are often different to the reasons why boys play. Boys often love the competitive side of things and the physical side of things, whereas adolescent girls really often just want to have fun and enjoyment and play with their friends. But when we sort of get to that 15 to 19 year age group where sport often does get serious in terms of that player pathway, you know, we grade people. We say, no, you're not allowed to play with your friends. And a lot of girls just say, just let me play with my friends.
James, you've been looking at how we close the gender play gap. What sort of levers are you looking at?
So in a close partnership with the Office for Rec Sport and Racing here in SA, we've created some, some guidelines and things that clubs and organisations can do to try and close that gap. So there's a few sort of principles that they revolve around. So the way that we promote and communicate our programs, making sure that we're, really speaking to our audience. So as Rochelle alluded to, whilst, you know, we found that there were a lot of girls that did enjoy that competitive experience, that they are often attracted to sport in different ways than boys. So we need to make sure that we're not just promoting our programs as a sort of blanket approach. We really encourage organisations to come at things from an equity first standpoint. So, you know, we found very often that organisations would say, well, we've only ever had one women's team, so that's what we're going to set ourselves up for, rather than actually trying to increase that or trying to get that towards, closer to equity in terms of what they have for boys and men's teams. And whilst the high quality competitive environment is important for both boys and girls, it's really important that it's a socially safe environment. So facilitating social opportunities for girls and young women to really experience a connection beyond just the actual sport that they play, and making sure that the club and the functions and all those sorts of things are really socially safe and engaging for young girls as well. And then finally ensuring that we're future-proofing these organisations. We're not just coming in and making short-term changes, so prioritising training and development of women who want to come and coach and officiate and really create an environment of women leading and girls sort of learning from that as well. So, a few things that we've done there, and we've been really fortunate to have this embedded in some grant funding in the Power of Her funding. We also have the Power of Her awards that are currently open in South Australia. So if there is any South Australians listening who know of an individual or an organisation that's done some great things in women's sport, then definitely look at nominating for the Power of Her awards that are open at the moment, and there'll be a great celebration of some women's sport in South Australia.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National, talking about the power of sport for all of us and the gender play gap. So this sense that girls and then women tend to drop out of sport as they get older, and what we can do to help incorporate people into sport of all genders, because we get so much out of it. And I'm asking you what you learned from doing sport as a kid. What does sport mean to you? One says, my son has learned so much from little athletics, social skills, peer support, movement skills, confidence, and learning from experience. He's a kinder, more persistent, more social and committed person. He's even more confident with trying and learning at school. I love that little athletics works well for all kids. Jerry says, growing up, my sport, where I learned teamwork, meeting goals and leadership skills, was hiking and camping with scouts. So it doesn't have to be team sports in the traditional sense. Nikhil, looking at women's sport getting more visibility, has it changed what you do with your girls when it comes to getting around sport?
Absolutely. So my sort of shift has been from one of being a curious observer of women's sport to now being a genuinely invested fan. Mm. So previously, you know, I just noticed that there was some sporting event involving women was going on. And, you know, if I had the time, I might tune in, just follow the updates on in the papers or on social media. But now I am a truly genuinely invested fan. And I'm not saying this just because I have daughters now and, you know, I want them to get into sport. Even the quality of sport has just gotten tremendously better now. You know, talk about the Australian women's cricket team. You know, they are world class in every sense of the term. And even the Matildas, for example, you know, the World Cup that happened earlier, and the upcoming AFC Cup that's going to happen in Australia. I think just the kind of the quality of sport has gotten better as well. So I am now a much more invested women's sport passionate fan.
Love to hear it. Rochelle, we're talking about girls and women here. What do we know about sport participation across the lifespan?
Yeah, obviously it does vary. And not all dropout is actually bad, because people might drop out of one sport and transition to a different activity. As long as people are physically active, and if you're active with others, you gain not just the physical health benefits, but the social health benefits as well. Dropout does tend to occur for both boys and girls, you know, during secondary school, when their lives do get busy. You know, education becomes a priority. They might have part-time jobs. They might have increased social lives as well. So, you know, when you think about young children, they've got plenty of time after school to go and play sport, but not so much when you're sort of, you know, entering into later stages of sort of secondary school. And a lot of girls too might drop out of a team-based sport, but they might, you know, they might still have a running group or walk the dog or go to the gym or Pilates. So, you know, we do move in and out of different activities throughout our life course. And as long as people are active and active with others, you know, we can still gain those health and social benefits.
Briefly, Nikhil, what's your message to other dads about fostering this love of sport in their daughters?
You know, it's just not about the qualities that sport gives. It's the bonding that you will have with your daughters. For example, I did the Daughters and Dads cricket program last summer, and that was one of the most special experiences I had. You get to explore so many qualities and aspects about each other. So get out there on the field. Don't just be a cheerleader or the driver. Be an active participant with your daughters, and you will reap the benefits throughout their lives.
Thank you all so much for joining me this morning. Nikhil Kulkarni is a self-described cricket tragic, author of My Summer of Cricket, dad of two daughters who he is very much inculcating with his own love of sport already. James Kay is a PhD candidate at Flinders University's College of Education, Psychology and Social Work. And Rochelle Imey is Professor of Exercise and Sports Science at Federation University.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.